This is the Quality News Network. In a joint statement released upon their arrival in England, the 15 free British sailors and Marines said being home was a, quote, dream come true, end quote. One of the 15 was held in solitary confinement throughout the ordeal. Prime Minister Blair said a dual-track strategy was implemented to bring about the release. Open dialogue with Iran, combined with the mobilization of international support and pressure. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Blair mourned the loss of four other British troops killed in an ambush Thursday in Iraq. Those soldiers and a civilian interpreter were killed by a roadside IED. Yesterday, six U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq, too. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Riyadh today and sat in her counterpart's plush legislative chair, a privilege no Saudi woman can have because women can't become legislators in Saudi Arabia. It's the last stop on her Middle East tour that also featured her meeting with the president of Syria, which the White House rebuked, saying her visit undermined the U.S. policy to isolate Syria. She also irked Israel, saying the Israelis were ready to talk peace with Syria, when in fact Prime Minister Olmert's office said there was no new peace initiative until Syria stopped supporting Hamas and Hezbollah. Iraqi officials say the security surge is expanding to areas outside of Baghdad. Although sectarian violence in Baghdad has declined, killings in other parts of the country have flared up. Two men have been arrested for allegedly plotting last week's truck bombing in Iraq. The killing of 152 Shia made it the single deadliest insurgent attack since the conflict began. It led to a revenge rampage that killed 47 Sunnis. In London, the first charges were filed in connection with the July 2005 tube and bus bombings that killed 52. Three men arrested last month are being charged with conspiracy to cause explosions. Six German Tornado fighter jets have arrived in Afghanistan in support of NATO-led forces in the country. The German parliament deployed the squadron despite threats by a group in Iraq to execute two German hostages if Berlin doesn't pull some 3,000 troops out of Afghanistan. Demonstrations are continuing against Ukrainian President Viktor Yushchenko today. He's refusing to back down from his decision to dissolve parliament and call early elections. Yushchenko is in a standoff with the country's prime minister. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. CollaborativeDivorce.tv.
The UN Security Council is scheduled to debate climate change later this month. It's the first time the topic has been addressed by the world body. The UK lobbied for the debate, saying the issue is a matter of global security. 27 executives and employees at the Quality Service Integrity Cleaning Company yesterday were charged for allegedly hiring illegal immigrants and stealing the identities of U.S. citizens to hide their hiring practices. Kurt Kerkorian, one of the biggest shareholders of Chrysler Corporation at one time, is making another go at the company. He's offered to buy Chrysler for $4.5 billion. His deal proposes to take the company private with union workers and management getting a stake. It's contingent upon a labor agreement with the UAW. Chrysler lost $1.5 billion last year and is not projecting a profit for next year. Nation's leading electronics chain, Best Buy, posted an 18% gain in quarterly profits. The company credited robust sales outside of the U.S., particularly in China. U.S. stocks closed higher on the day and week Thursday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average posting its first six-session string of gains in more than 4 months, although price action was restrained ahead of the three-day Easter holiday. Oil was down at the close at $63.97 a barrel, off 41 cents. And Wall Street finished the day in positive territory with the Dow up 30 points, the NASDAQ up 13. The market is closed tomorrow. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. 6.5 minutes after the hour. Kind of gray and cold again. We've had snowflakes in the air here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West by God, Virginia. I hope it's somewhat nicer somewhere, wherever you might happen to be. That'd make me feel at least a little bit better. But, you know, this is to be expected this time of year. Things that are blooming, get their blossoms frozen off. It's annoying. But it is April. Warm weather will be here soon. This is the last gasp. Come on, keep your fingers crossed, everybody. And everything will be okay. Even if West Virginia University really has hired Bob Huggins to coach the basketball team. I know, you get sick of hearing me talk about that, but, you know, I'm a Mountaineer. And Bob Huggins, oh, please. You know, we'll have to double the size of the Morgantown, West Virginia police force just to accommodate the kind of player he brings in. But it'll be all right. Everything will be okay. I'm trying. I don't know how okay things are going to be. What a weird little nation, what a weird little world we live in. The fundraising numbers came out for the political presidential candidates. And the big hoop-de-doo on our side of things is the, what must be alarming to the Clinton camps, the news of the stunning ability of Barack Obama to raise as much or more money than Hillary. And frankly, I find all this... What was it, $25 million for the first quarter that Hillary and Obama each raised? Something like that? And if a number like that doesn't make you realize that we are dealing with a political system that is not broken, but almost irretrievably shattered, then I don't know what will. $25 million. What would $25 million really do? Because understand, all these political donations, they're not gonna buy anybody a bag of groceries. They're not going to pay anybody's electric bill. They're not going to fix a busted septic system. They're not going to do a damn thing except go straight into the media's pockets. And they're going to hire political consultants. 9 times out of 10 on the Democratic side of things, they're going to hire political consultants who have been paid over the course of years to lose. You know, nice work if you can get it. I suppose I'm not being sufficiently loyal in pointing this out. But Hillary got $25 million, Barack Obama got $26 million, and it goes on. And what good is any of it going to do? Is any of that money going to do any good? Is it going to make sure that a child gets a decent education? Is it going to make sure... And, you know, some might say, oh, sure, Bob, it will, because if we can just get a decent president, it'll all be Frisbees and wheat checks for everybody. No, it won't. No, it won't. Is $26 million to Barack Obama or $25 million to Hillary Clinton or whomever or whatever is going on the God knows on the Republican side of things going to change the insurance industry's stranglehold on health care in this country? Is it? Is it going to make sure that we buy less bombs and more butter? Now, I'm all for pragmatism, but I'm also all for idealism. And I like it when my idealism wins out. But I can't look at numbers like this and realize anything except the fact that money is going to go for advertisements that are geared towards slamming and sliming and filthing someone else, whether it is done as a first shot or whether it is done as a response on the, you know, I won't go negative till the other guy does basis. So I find it a little bit obscene. I also find it interesting that the right wing continues to rah-rah Barack Obama because they've been... Do you realize that Rush Limbaugh has been running against Hillary Clinton since 1991? That's how long he has been predicting the desperate advent of Hillary Clinton. That should tell you something. Then on the Republican side of things, there's Mitt Romney. And at a blog called Down with Tyranny, whose quote is, maybe it is Sinclair Lewis. The quote at Down with Tyranny is, "When fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag and carrying the cross." I thought that was from Henry Wallace, but apparently it's Sinclair Lewis. But the blogger at Down with Tyranny, downwithtyranny.blogspot.com, says the same day his campaign pre-announced that he had hauled in the biggest bundle of cash of any of the Republicans running for the presidency, Mitt Romney was yucking it up about his membership in the shadowy Church of Latter-day Saints, the writer says the Mormon cult. Last weekend at the annual Gridiron Dinner in Washington, Romney made a joke at Giuliani's and his own expense, referring to Giuliani's promise to have his puppy-killing wife attend cabinet meetings if he's elected. Romney said that, quote, "If I'd adopt the same policy, we're going to have a heck of a lot more chairs in the cabinet room." Ha, 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 the writer says. Two of his standard lines are that he's the only Republican running who's only had one wife, referring to the scandalous multiple divorces and adulterous affairs by family values hypocrites like Newt Gingrich, Rudy Giuliani, and John McCain, and the coyly self-deprecating line, quote, "I have to admit that as a Mormon, I believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman, and a woman, and a woman, and a woman, and a woman." Mitt Romney. And, you know, it's not a joke. His grandfather or his great-grandfather had multiple wives, so Mitt might have a hard time knowing just who great-great-great-granny was. I don't know. But the blog post goes on to point out that he is leveraging dollars out of the Mormon Church like crazy, because just like any religious organization, they've got prophecies. And one of the prophecies is that the Mormons will rescue the Constitution when it is hanging by a thread. And I'm sorry, but Mitt Romney, please, if you're a devotee of Doonesbury, or a reader, or whatever you want to call yourself, you'll know that Mark, the talk radio, the public radio talk radio guy, has been interviewing Mitt Romney over the last three or four daily strips, in which Mark hails him for his bold and courageous stance on gay rights, and Mitt Romney says, "No, I don't. Not anymore. No, you're flip-flopping, Governor Romney? Absolutely. Well, yeah, you wouldn't flip-flop on gun rights. Yeah, I would. I mean, you're not even a member of the NRA. I mean, what, did you join in September, in August? But apparently, the Mormon Church is giving till it hurts to Mitt Romney. And, you know, I hope you know by now, I'm a rational guy. I don't care what superstitions or fairy tales other people believe. But I refuse to take seriously, or for that matter, to treat seriously, or for that matter, not to openly mock anybody who thinks his underwear is special. Really? Sometime, you know, you catch one of the devout ones and ask them about their temple ceremony. They get real quiet real quick. This is worse than this is like the secret stuff from a lodge meeting. Noble Lumpkin, yes, Exalted Balderdash. So, yeah, Mitt Romney wears special underwear. Sacred underwear, even. He wears it. He's proud of it. And the other high moron mucky mucks and noble lumpkins and exalted hoop-dee-doos and the righteous balderdashes do, too. And, you know, that just it's only fair to ask a question of this once great nation. America. America. Would you really trust this nation? Your children's future, your children's children's future, to a guy who thinks that God sits around with nothing better to do than to condone which kind of underwear people put on. Would you do that, America? Would you? Because if the answer is yes, then maybe that Mormon prophecy is right. Maybe this nation truly is hanging by a thread. And that thread is elastic, and it leads to a tag that says BVD. God, this is depressing. Looking at the people running for president in 2008. So far, unless something profound happens to change it, assuming he gets on the West Virginia primary ballot, I'm still with Kucinich. Makes more sense than anybody else. I mean, my list right now is Kucinich, John Edwards, and Al Gore. Then Barack, then Hillary. You know, come November 2008, I will vote for the Democratic nominee. Because the very worst of the Democratic nominees will be better than a dude who thinks God is eminently concerned with drawers and bloomers. Right? I mean, am I right? Sure. Or John McCain, who spends God knows how many millions of taxpayer dollars to go and buy a coconut or a little grilled stick of kebab something or another in the Baghdad market to prove that it's safe there, and it takes 100 of our troops, 3 Black Hawks and 2 Apache gunships, and God knows how many Humvees and Stryker vehicles and what. Yeah, because that's fiscally sound policy. That's conservative, not. Oh, God. It does. It kind of gets under your skin. And, you know, from the culture, you know, from the just looking at sort of apolitically, looking at the culture side of things, over at the CNN website, an exclusive by John Gorilla and Patrick Oopsman, or I'm sorry, John Zarella and Patrick Oppman. The headline, Florida Housing Sex Offenders Under Bridge. Huh? The sparkling blue waters of off Miami's Julia Tuttle Causeway look as if they were taken from a postcard, but the causeway's only inhabitants see little paradise in their surroundings. Five men, all registered sex offenders convicted of abusing children, live along the causeway because there is a housing shortage for Miami's least welcome residents. Quote, I got nowhere I can go, says sex offender Rene Matamoros, who lives with his dog on the shore where Biscayne Bay meets the causeway. The Florida Department of Corrections says there are fewer and fewer places in Miami-Dade County where sex offenders can live because the county has some of the strongest restrictions against this kind of criminal in the country. Florida's solution, house the convicted felons under a bridge that forms one part of the causeway. The Julia Tuttle Causeway, which links Miami to Miami Beach, offers no running water, no electricity, and little protection from nasty weather. It's not an ideal solution, God, Department of Corrections officials told CNN, but at least the state knows where the sex offenders are. And, you know, if the state decides that they don't like one, it's easier to get them down to the water where they can be found face up the next morning, or face down the next morning. Nearly every day a state probation officer makes a pre-dawn visit to the causeway. Those visits are part of the terms of the offender's probation, which mandates that they occupy a residence from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Now, there's some conservatism for you. Because there are laws passed in Florida that say registered sex offenders can't live within 1,000 miles of a school or 22 feet of a church or, a mile and a half of an ice cream shop or skating rinks, parks, playgrounds. You get the idea of the problem. Now, is this some sort of raving defense of convicted sex offenders? No. It's a defense of human beings. Because, you see, the conservatives in Florida couldn't quite get away with just imposing the death penalty for all sex offense cases. Because given the opportunity to do so, they would. The conservatives in Florida, given the opportunity, would impose the death penalty for everything. Because that's regressive and backward and almost antediluvian, and it's the way that conservatives think. I've made jokes from time to time about, you know, drinking the screw top wine with the boys under the bridge. It ain't funny anymore. I'm sorry, sir, you're living under a bridge. You, in terms of your probation, say you have to live in a house. But I'm not allowed by law to live anywhere that there are any houses. Too bad! Bring the drowning machine up. This is just nuts. This is insane. This is an insane America. An America gone insane. Jump right in on the program. It's about you more than it is me. 877-443-2366. 877-4 Head On. Email comes to bob@headonradio.com. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Don't seem right. I've been strung out here all night. I've been waiting for the taste you said you'd bring to me. Biscayne Bay, where the Cuban gentlemen sleep all day. I went searching for the song you used to sing.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project. because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Something kind of disturbing about that song. And oh, am I your wild thing, Agnes? Yeah, I can tell. 28 and a half minutes past the hour. Let's go to the phones. But after that, I've got a little bit more insanity for you. The hardworking conservatives and the laws they draft. Bob in North Dakota, hey, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, friend.
How are you?
Well, I'm thinking that was kind of bumper music for me.
Oh, well.
I love you, too.
Okay. You can be wild thing. That's all right.
I'm about as wild as I get out here, you know.
I've never seen North Dakotans gone wild. I don't stay up late enough at night to see the infomercials on TV.
Oh, you ain't seen the Northern Lights dancing over my barn either, I bet. You ain't seen the spikes come down at night or any of that stuff. I mean, most people believe lots of stuff, Bob. They believe it, and it's funny. I mean, it's cute. In a lot of ways, but this thing that I listened to our good friend Mark talk about today, Mark Levine,
mm-hmm.
you know, with that gentleman, that Air Force gentleman, made me just stand and just get so angry because.
Oh, you mean because of the right wing fundamentalist religious takeover of the Air Force?
Well, yeah, that and the way they have twisted Christianity. No, they don't even accept Christianity. They have twisted it to this dominionist
Well, Dominionist or Reconstructionist, I mean, they're, yeah.
Dominionist. They believe that they have an obligation to take dominion over the earth. I mean, over everything, Bob.
And everybody. That would include you and me, Bob.
Absolutely, but guess what? They get here. They ain't gonna like what they meet because yeah. I'm not a dominionist.
Ain't gonna be dominionated.
No, I will not be taken down easy, and I'm gonna be like that. You know, if we'd known that they were coming, we would have met them at the door with our hoes and our pitchforks. We would have met them with force. Well, that's the thing we have to do with this bunch, this Bush bunch, this. We need to stand against them. I don't care how you do it. If you stand in the door with a pitchfork, if you stand and just don't let them take you, because if they take you, you will be either, what was that he said about a puff of smoke going out of a brick house, or you will be a man that dies in his boots. And I guarantee you, when they come for me,
You're choosing boots.
Oh, you bet, man. I'm not going alone. I'm taking a few of them with me. Just like, I'm not going to say the name because, you know, it goes to this, you know, there's so many men that have fought for this country. They fought not for flag and country, but for that piece of GD paper that George Bush wipes his butt with every day.
Yep, and he's the one that called it that, too, isn't he?
Yeah, he called it a piece of GD paper, and I swear on my mortal soul that I'll meet that SOB in hell. I will see him there, and he ain't going to like me there because I am not a nice guy when I'm PO'd. Well, hello! I got my grandson here.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, this is Dylan, and I got Mike, and I got Glenda, and I got... Hello, you going to be here for the weekend or just for a day or a half? Hey, Bob.
Yeah?
I got my boy here. I got my grandbaby, Dylan, and I ain't give him a hug in a couple of weeks now, and
Well, you run on. You attend to them.
Oh, I have to, and to you and to Agnes, I salute you very much. I stand with you and with everything that you guys are attempting to bring to light. You know?
Yeah.
Just you're lighting a candle, but you're not hiding it under a bushel. You're holding it up to the world to see, and I just respect you folks so much. And to your youngins, I give them a very, very blessed Easter, one where we all rise above ourselves and realize that the man that spoke those words, if he did so long ago, spoke them of peace and goodwill to all men of all nations for all time. He did not speak of viciousness nor of war. He spoke of peace and goodwill, and that's what I wish for this happy Easter to you and yours.
Absolutely, and you have a weekend
We don't have a religion here. We have a faith.
Right.
We have a belief. We have a belief that there is something beyond us that we do not understand. We don't know if it's of Allah or of God or of Jesus or of Buddha, or we do not grasp the eternal. We do not speak to the eternal. We do not know the eternal. And no man can ever know the eternal. No one on earth, not even George W. Bush, knows the eternal. He has no concept of it. We don't. He doesn't. And that is believe. There is no Yahshua or Buddha or anything, because they spoke and they talked and they tried to teach us how to love one another, not kill each other. They all spoke of how to get along. Like, kind of like Rodney King thing, you know, can't we all just get along? So for my wish for this Easter weekend is, can't we all just get along? Maybe just stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about, you know, my grandson, my grandbabies, your grand, you know, well, grandkids eventually. I hope you have some. And I hope that they have great, great, great grandbabies that speak of Bob Kincaid and talk about this true American that stood against the Nazi right-wing, filthy Bush administration. And they'll speak of you, and they will just all bow. And they will respect the man that you are. And the
thank
man
you, Bob. I'm going to start blushing or something, but thank you.
Well, don't blush. Just stand up.
Yeah.
Be that man that I know you are. And okay. Happy Easter.
And thanks, Bob. To you and Glenda and Mike and little Dylan.
Oh, Dylan. Oh, God. I haven't even hugged you. He's upstairs with William.
No, well, hurry up, man.
Huh?
Hurry up. Get up there.
No, he knows Grandpa's on the phone, and when I'm doing this, he just kind of... Oh, okay,
how old is he, Bob?
Huh?
How old is he?
He's 6. Going on 7.
Cool. Yeah. Wonderful.
He's cool. He's Grandpa! Oops, I'm...
You know, Gore Vidal spoke in Charleston, West Virginia a couple of nights ago, and I forget who it was he was quoting, but he said, the quote was, I have never met a boring 6-year-old or an interesting 16-year-old, and Gore Vidal looked at the audience and said, what are you doing to him in the interim?
Yeah, what are you doing to me in the interim? Yeah, but hey, I tell you what, the only thing I teach him is, hey, think outside the box, and think for yourself. I am not God Almighty on earth. I am Grandpa. I just love you, and hey, I love you because you are. I don't care what your folks do. I just love you. You know?
Yep.
And that is what this Christ figure that we're waiting for to rise again on Sunday morning taught us all. Love you one another as I have loved you. And it's a funny little thing when you say love each other as I have loved you, but can you really pull that into yourself and say, if I love someone that I don't like so much, but I have to love them because I got it from my God, then how can you go over there and do this dominionist stuff and destroy?
Well, that's the, you know, that right there, Bob, is the proof in the pudding that that all they give is lip service and wallet service to what they call their religion.
Then I will see them all in hell.
You know, actually, if there's a hell, I doubt that, Bob.
No, I have asked.
I hear your spirit.
No, I have asked the Almighty. I have stood before him when my son died, and I asked him, if I have an afterlife, please, God, send me to hell so I can be with those creatures, those things that have taken your name in vain, and please, God, let me be the demon they hate so much. And if he is there, if that God that they preach about and they swear allegiance to is there, then he's there for me too. And if he's there for me, then he's going to send me into that place that they will call hell. But I know for me it will be heaven, because I'll have every one of those, what do you call them again? Huh? Hypocrites?
Yeah, that's one of them.
I have every one of them, and they will be under my command, and I will have eternity. Not just a few weeks, months, years to torture them and hurt them, but I'll have forever, and they will be mine. So, come on, boys, buck up. I've been to hell before. You want to come with me? That's all I ask them.
Yep.
You know? Either
yep.
that or get my boys out of Iraq, my girls, bring them home.
Exactly.
One way or the other.
Oh, I know. And there was a story, I think it was in the Chicago Tribune in the last day or so, Bob, that of a 55-year-old grandfather who received an invitation from the Army to come back. He's been retired for 15 years, and he got an invitation from the United States Army to come back and be recommissioned.
Son,
that's where we are, Bob.
I still get them damn letters. I just look at them, and I'd say, kiss my patoot.
Save us one, Bob, would you?
Okay. The next time I get one, I don't think it's been a year or so since I got one, but yeah, they've been, you know, trying to, you know, drag my butt back into the fight, and I told them, hey, kiss my ass. I'm out of the fight. I ain't going to fight your war, your filthy Iraq war. It's like the filthy Vietnam War I fought in the first place. You ain't going to take me back into that. But I guaranteed them, I told them, I said, I'll see you all in hell, and you will be mine because I am that which you fear the most. And it is a righteous man in hell standing for what really is correct. And the correctness is this, that the United States Constitution was never, ever a Christian document. It was a document that was drafted by people, men that stood and said, we've had enough of this religious control and this king standing over us. And now we have King George W. standing and all of his minions saying, well, if you don't follow George, you're not following Christ. And that's a lie. A filthy lie. And Bob, it is not Christian, nor is it even scriptural. They have taken the good book, they have taken the Quran, they have taken the Bible, and they have twisted it.
Sure, made every bit of it sick.
Yes, and now it's time that we claim our country, we reclaim our nation, we reclaim the righteousness of the Quran and the righteousness of the Bible, and we take it out of the hands of the politicians and put it back. Take it out of the doggone hands of these preachers and put the truth that is of both books, that if you respect your neighbor and you welcome them into your home and you say to them, you are my guest, and no one shall ever harm you while you are under my roof, which is what is of the Quran. And as Jesus taught us, love thee one another as I have loved you. It's the same philosophy. It's the same thing. If you just look beyond which side of the fence it came from, it's the same thing, Bob.
I know what you mean.
And it is the truth. And I don't care if they call themselves Christians or evangelicals or Jews or Gentiles or Muslims or
Buddhists, Hindus, Jainists, animists. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey.
Exactly.
Have a wonderful, wonderful Easter weekend. And, you know, to my friends that are Jewish,
yeah.
And to my friends that are Muslims, may United States of America forget that is the Christian nation and accept you also, because you are my brothers. My Muslim brothers are as
They're your human brothers and sisters, Bob.
They are as precious to me as my Jewish and my Christian brothers.
Because they're all human.
They are that and more. They are that and more. And I weep for the widows. I weep for the children. I weep for the old men. And I weep for the young men that fight for their country. And I pray to Allah. I pray to Jesus. I pray to God. I pray to He who has no name, that the United States will wake up and realize that we are the problem, not the Muslims, not Iraq, not Iran, not any other nation. We, the United States of America, are the problem. And if we cannot clean up our own house, someone else will clean it up for us, and we will not be Americans anymore. You have given up your Constitution so you could slap a yellow sticker on the back of your SUV and drive gas-guzzling cars down the interstate. Well, you've given up your soul. That's a fact. It's not conjecture. It's a fact. You want it your way. Well, how about this? It will never be your way. It cannot be your way, because if you are not part of the solution, you are absolutely the problem. Not part of the problem, you are the problem. And the problem is this, that we either work together as human beings and actually behave as brothers and sisters, or we all go down in flame and hell will be there for all of us. So, this weekend, I think I just preached my last sermon, but to all of you, a wonderful weekend. And I'm going to tell Agnes something, okay?
Okay.
Don't give Bob any of them doggone yeller chicken things, because he'll probably go hyper on me tomorrow.
Nope, none for me. Thanks, okay. Bob.
Good night, my friend.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay, about 12 minutes before the hour. Let's go to Peter. Hey, Peter. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well this evening. I really am. And,
it's Easter weekend. Are you getting ready to crucify a chocolate bunny?
Well, I'll tell you, this Easter weekend is going to be a hoot. There's a sunrise service, and I have to take apart the sound system at the church and go to an open field where they're going to have extension cords run to this open pasture, and I've got to get there, like, well before the sun comes up and set the sound system up using the headlights of the cars and get it all ready, and then a couple of singers are going to sing with the CD vocal, our CD music tracks, and then they'll be preaching and more, another singing group of six people. So I've got to have at least 8 mics and all set up. And then I got to break it all down and get it back to church by the 11 o'clock service. And it's supposed to be cold.
We got to get you in the union, dude.
Well, either that or I need to hire some freaking Easter bunnies. Some union buddies. Yeah, that would be helpful.
God.
I'm ticked off about this Ryan Skipper fellow. Do you know about him?
Help me.
Ryan Skipper is a young man who's 25 years old, and he was viciously murdered. He was stabbed 20 times in his car. His body was dumped on the side of the road.
When did this happen?
Let's see. Just within the last week or so.
Oh, brother. I missed that
in
one.
South Florida, and I'm sorry I don't have the city listed, but he was a student, and he worked full-time, and he had just bought his new car with his own money that he had saved up, and he was going to go to a computer school. He was interested in computers and wanted to learn how to do that. And it was some sort of a local school. He was working at a sunglasses hut, you know, to kind of keep himself going.
Right.
And it was a gay hate crime. Ryan was a gay fellow. And the reason I'm upset about this is the local law enforcement is calling it a hate crime. And that he was murdered because he was gay. But then they turned right around and they smeared him by claiming that he was out cruising and he picked up this guy Then he and the guy went back to his house where they smoked marijuana and schemed about copying checks using his laptop and his equipment, his computer equipment, to and then they took off again with the laptop. But you see, what the police did was they got all of this information from the guys that murdered him.
Yeah, from the killers.
Right. The fingerprints were. They burned the car, by the way. They couldn't get all the blood out of it. They burned the car and left him down on the side of the road, but his fingerprints was all over it. So that's how they were arrested. One was a 20-year-old, and I think there was one that was a 19-year-old. But the truth is coming out at this point, but it's too late. You see, the police have already released this report to the media, so it's all over the media that, you know, it's his fault. He was out cruising for strangers, and he picked. Well, he has no history of doing that, but you know, and they're right.
Wait, but he had no history of doing that?
Well, no. He's a good-looking fellow. I can't see that he needed to do that. But the real version of the story is the boy doesn't even have a laptop. His roommate says that he came home after work from the sunglasses store and left after receiving a phone call. It's not that he didn't come home and brought home a stranger. His brother lives in California, I believe, was actually getting a laptop ready for him to ship to him. He does have a desktop computer there, but he doesn't have a scanner and he doesn't have a printer, so there was no possibility of he and this stranger plotting to photocopy checks. And
so these sleazy little killers are trying to weasel their way out of a hate crimes charge by accusing him of being in a criminal conspiracy with them?
Yes, that and the fact that he was picking them up for sex and they went into, what is it, homophobic fear. It's the same thing the kids did that murdered Matthew Shepard.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just disturbing to me because it's so reminiscent of the way the newspapers used to be. If you'll recall back in the 50s and 60s, anytime there was a little girl molested, you'd see, like on page 2, there was, a child was molested, and then it'll go on, and somewhere in the article, it'll be a man that did it to a little girl. But if a man molested a little boy, it would always be front page, homosexual child molestation.
Right, yeah. Right?
And it's just another case of blaming the victim, and it's, now that it's the police have released this information, which is, based on the...
Well, what are they doing releasing this kind of information in an investigation that should be, by all rights, unless I've just got it completely wrong, ongoing?
Well, the thing is, they just believe the killers. I mean, it makes sense to you, doesn't it? I mean, he was a queer. He was riding down the road picking up hitchhikers.
Picking up hitchhikers and putting together check kiting schemes.
Then they decided to go home, smoke marijuana, use his non-existent laptop with his non-existent scanner and
non-existent printer. Don't forget the non-existent printer.
And forge checks. But the truth of the situation is he came home and he received a phone call. Now, there's more to it. One of the guys that is involved in this murder used to live at the address that Ryan lives at now, moved out. Either he lived there or his girlfriend lived there. I'm not sure exactly how that worked, but he had come over several times asking the roommate about Ryan. Apparently he had heard Ryan was gay, and apparently it had set him up as being a mark ahead of time. And there's just a lot to this, but I just want everybody to know out there that, the guy wasn't out cruising for sex. I mean, not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that. I mean, if there's gay folks, listen, I don't recommend it. I mean, it's just, in the morning, it's just another empty morning. But what I'm getting at is these things are just still going on. And of course, the right wing has picked it up, and it's his own fault, and the devil's punishing him. And
well, and since the word hate crime was mentioned, I'm sure that the right wing is having a hissy, because every time you mention the idea of hate crimes legislation, the right wing comes screaming out. I don't think, Peter, that they ever understand quite fully how foolish they seem when they do it, because they come howling out of, frankly, I think out of their closets, howling about hate crime legislation, saying things like, there's no way to know the intent of a person who committed a crime.
Well, you got that, too.
That's just crazy, because, the whole point of proving a murder or a larceny or anything else, you have to prove that they intended to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the police are the sheriff down there is trying to win in two ways. One, he's able to say it's a hate crime, and he's doing a good thing by enforcing hate crimes and looking for hate crimes, and that's kind of a good thing to do.
Yeah, but I still recognize how it is with them homosexuals.
This queer brought it on himself. Exactly. And, it's the same rap they put on women. She deserved it. She was asking for it, the whole bit. But now that, the facts are coming out, it's all unraveling. And about the guy, and I don't have any details on this in front of me, the elderly gay guy who was being harassed on a bus somewhere in the north. This just happened recently too. Guy was calling him a queer.
Weirdos are beginning to vibrate, Peter.
Yeah, well, and they followed him off the bus, and the guy is an elderly man. What he was going to help a friend to get his friend out of his friend was stuck in a wheelchair in the snow in a snowbank some kind of way,
oh,
and
God.
His friend observed. The guy that followed him off the bus, beat him in the head with a steel bar and killed a man. Because he was queer. And then the police are now saying that there's no witnesses, and it's only his story. It's only the guy claims he didn't follow him off the bus. They're completely disregarding the fact that, his friend in the wheelchair was begging the guy to stop. A lot of this stuff is just amazing to me.
Well, that's what I said. At the beginning of the program, Peter. You want to come out and do happy stuff and gosh and golly gee and it's sunshine and Leave It to Beaver, but this ain't. It's almost impossible to do that, Peter.
Well, it is, and I'm not really whining about how tough gay folks have it, because everybody in this country that's part of the reality-based community has got it tough. And growing up straight isn't any easier than growing up gay. Growing up is a bitch, no matter how you look at it. But, there's just some nasty stuff going on. The suicide rate is sky high for gay teenagers. And the schools are desperately trying to prevent any sort of gay-straight alliances with the students. They're fighting that tooth and nail. So there's basically not only is the persecution thing going on, there. People are desperately trying to prevent anyone from bridging the gap. So it's just nasty stuff. So anyway, when you hear it on the news about this gay guy that was picking up, it's not true. I just want somebody to get out the rest of the story. By the way, it was in Polk County, Florida.
I'll look it up and just see it for myself.
His name's Ryan Skipper.
Ryan Skipper.
Yeah, R-Y-A-N Skipper. 25 years old, nice looking guy. Just in their page.
Well, give it two days. What do you want to bet if I go to Fred Phelps's website? They've already got a screed up about it.
Oh, I bet you they do. I should have gone there too. Yeah, I'd really been pumped if I'd gone there first.
I'm just as glad you didn't.
Yeah, I was getting this off the some sort of county news thing.
And I'm sure it's at page 1Q as well.
Yeah, it's kind of buried. So, No,
the gay website, page 1Q.
I'm sure what the advocate side has of that. Probably, what's his name? I can't pronounce that fellow's name. Signorelli? How do you be the guy?
Oh, Michael Signorelli?
Yes, he's wonderful, by the way.
He's a tremendous talent.
Yeah, I listened to him on XM for a while. I got an XM receiver specifically to hear his show, and then I got into a situation when I was never available when his show was on, and I canceled the XM subscription. And what's become of Harrison? Is Harrison going to get...
He's podcasting right now, but there's still something in the works, and I'm not sure exactly what it is, but GoHarrison.com is, you go there for the podcast.
I see. Well, aren't Harrison and Signorelli the only two that are actually, doing that? I mean, I know there's lots of gay folk doing news, but are they really the only two that are out there?
Sort of out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say.
That's interesting.
I don't know if John Aravosis is doing anything. Does he appear on anybody's shows or anything?
Not that I'm aware of.
He was one of the first gay blogs that I read that was really out and okay with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Michael Signorelli and Harrison.
Yeah, Signorelli is really does the news too. I mean, he.
Oh, he's serious.
Yeah, he's a news kind of guy, and I really admired that in him. And Harrison does news too, but he's got a lot of entertainment going, which is just way cool. I mean, it's California. He's got the music. He's got the producers. It's just very Josh. I gotta admire that. But anyway, that's just what's going on in my little world.
Well, I'm gonna read up on this, and again, I'll put a dollar bet out there for anybody who wants to bet against it that this is already up at Fred Phelps's website.
Cool. Okay.
Such a sick little monkey he is. All right. Yeah, hang in there, and happy sunrise service.
Oh yeah, it's going to be Easter, and and I was going to call you and do a George Bush Easter message on Wednesday, but I got busy, and maybe I can do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you, Peter.
Okay. Bye.
Take care. It is time for the news. And your phone calls. Yeah, we'll be here tomorrow night. I realize that it's so-called Good Friday. But Jesus worked on Good Friday. We will, too. This is the Head On Radio Network. As broken, like the first morning, blackbird has spoken, like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing, fresh from the world. Sweet the rains new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the red God.
This is the Quality News Network. 15 British sailors and Marines held by Iran for nearly 2 weeks are now back home in England. Smiling family and friends greeted the group at Heathrow Airport before the sailors and Marines were taken to a nearby base for debriefing. While British Prime Minister Tony Blair said he was glad of their return unharmed, he went on to mention the loss of four other British troops killed today in a terrorist act. Insurgents ambushed the four and their civilian translator in southeastern Iraq, killing them all. Yesterday, six U.S. soldiers were also killed in various incidents in Iraq. South of Baghdad today, enemy fire brought down a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter. All nine of that crew survived. Iraqi officials say the security surge is expanding to areas outside of the capital city of Baghdad. Although sectarian violence in the capital has declined, killings in other parts of the country have flared up. West of Baghdad, 22 sheep herders were kidnapped yesterday. Also, at least 34 Iraqis were killed or found dead in various locations in the region. Two men have been arrested for allegedly plotting last week's truck bombing that killed 152 in the mostly Shia city of Tal Afar in Iraq. It was the single deadliest surge in attack since the conflict began and became the catalyst for a revenge rampage that killed 47 Sunnis. In London, British prosecutors have filed the first charges in connection with the July 2005 subway and bus bombings that killed 52 people. Three men arrested last month are charged with conspiring in that suicide attack. Six German Tornado fighter jets have arrived in Afghanistan to support NATO-led forces in the country. The German parliament deployed the squadron despite threats by a group in Iraq to execute two German hostages in Berlin if Berlin fails to pull troops out of Afghanistan. And at the World International Court, a former Bosnian Serb policeman's been given a 15-year sentence for the rape and torture of Muslim women during the Bosnian War. His case was the first to establish rape as a crime against humanity. Demonstrations are continuing against Ukrainian President Viktor Yushchenko today. He's refusing to back down from his decision to dissolve parliament and call early elections. Science and business news next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
French scientists say they've exposed a 19th century hoax. A rib bone said to have belonged to Joan of Arc is really from an Egyptian mummy. The bone was said to have been discovered in Rouen, where St. Joan was burned at the stake almost 7 centuries ago. The UN Security Council is scheduled to debate climate change later this month. It's the first time the topic's been addressed by the world body. The UK lobbied for the debate, saying the issue is a matter of global security. 27 executives and employees at the Quality Service Integrity Cleaning Company have been charged for allegedly hiring illegal immigrants and stealing the identities of U.S. citizens to hide their hiring practices. Kirk Kerkorian, once the biggest shareholder of Chrysler Corporation, has offered to buy the company for $4.5 billion. His deal proposes to take the company private, with union workers and management getting a stake in it. The deal is contingent upon a labor agreement with the UAW. Chrysler lost $1.5 billion last year and isn't projecting a profit in 2008. Oil is trading at $64.28, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 30 points, the NASDAQ was up 13, and the S&P was up 4. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, go grab a cup of coffee, piece of pie, glass of beer, whatever it is you're into. I want to share some great writing with you. Oh, he must be getting sarcastic again. We all know that legislatures, being organizational bodies made up of several human beings, are not the most efficient structure for government. But they beat, you know, one man, one vote, one rule kind of dictatorship. But this is what passes for good government in the state of Alabama. House Bill 482 by Representatives Gallagher, Ward, and Hill. Synopsis: under existing law, the core curriculum in public schools requires history courses that include materials on the history of the United States, the Constitution of the United States, and the teaching of documents important to the history and heritage of the United States. This bill would provide legislative intent. This bill would designate the first scholastic week in November each year as, drumroll please, Christian Heritage Week in public K-12 schools, and would require daily instruction during that week on the influence of Christianity on the history and heritage of the United States. This bill would also require the State Department of Education to promulgate any necessary rules. And a bill to be entitled an Act relating to public education to provide legislative intent to designate an annual Christian Heritage Week for grades K through 12, to require daily instruction during that week emphasizing the influence of Christianity on the history and heritage of the United States, and to require the State Department of Education to promulgate any necessary rules. Be it enacted by the Legislature of Alabama, Section 1. The Alabama legislature finds as follows. Oh, God. 1. America was founded on a creed involving recognition of the Christian God and principles in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, unquote. 2. The United States Constitution is a covenant document. Oh, God. Agnes, I'm going to throw something. The United States Constitution is a covenant document that is based on the Christian concept of covenant, whose drafters professed a belief in the Christian God, and in whose drafting God's providence was invoked by them. 3. The law of America is based largely on the common law from England, which in turn had much of its genesis in the Magna Carta and recognition of the Christian God as the source of human law. Our Bill of Rights embodies many of these historic beliefs. 4. The United States Supreme Court in Holy Trinity Church versus United States 143 U.S. 457 471 1892, after reviewing American history, declared, quote, if we pass beyond these matters to a view of American life as expressed by its laws, its business, its customs, and its society, we find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. These and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is a Christian nation. 5. The basic laws of our republic, as well as our general civil and criminal laws, are related to Christian concepts of a representative form of government, or the rule of law, the equality of man, and personal liberty. This goes on. Okay, well, I'll come back, don't worry. Section 2. Beginning with the 2007-2008 school year, the first full scholastic week of November each year shall be designated Christian Heritage Week in the public K-12 schools. During Christian Heritage Week, a minimum of 30 minutes each day shall be devoted to teaching students the influence of Christianity on United States history. Daily topics of instruction related to Christianity shall include, but not be limited to, the following: 1. Colonial America. 2. Founding Fathers or the Founding Era. 3. Heroes or Leaders, Living or Dead. 4. Concepts of Government, Individual Freedoms, Liberty, Equality, and Other Rights. 5. Historical Documents, Constitution, Statutes, Laws, Proclamations, the Star-Spangled Banner, and Other Patriotic Songs and Other Writings. 6. Great Debates, the Great Awakenings, and Other Revivals, Speeches, and Patriotic Sermons. Hallelujah, a Revival, and Other Historical Events. 7. Symbols, Structures, and Monuments. I guess this is the part where they spend 30 minutes one day talking about how that Christian man, Judge Roy Moore, done been screwed by the federal judiciary. 8. Related topics at the discretion of the teacher or a local board of education. Holy cats. Let's see. Concepts of government, individual freedoms, liberty, equality, and other rights, all of which do not exist in the Bible, because the Bible is expressly, you know, Paul, the entire Old Testament, you know, slaves are okay. They're not just okay. Paul and whoever wrote the Old Testament, it's not just approved of, slavery is encouraged. You know, Paul's the one that says, hey, all leaders are chosen by God. Obey your leaders. Of course, this is before Nero came to power. Great Debates, the Great Awakenings, and Other Revival, Speeches, and Patriotic Sermons? No. And then the catch-all, number 8, related topics at the discretion of the teacher.
You know, I'm thinking if you're really concerned with education, you might pass a bill making sure that every high school in Alabama teaches sciences all the way to biochem and physics and, I don't know, mathematics all the way to the calculus by 12th grade. Because somehow or another, teaching religious dogma under the... I mean, this is just beautiful. A covenant document that is based on the Christian concept of covenant? These filthy little liars. They don't even know the Bible that they're trying to shove down people's throats. The covenant happens in the Old Testament. It's not a Christian concept. It's a Hebrew concept.
But, Bob, I like the Old Testament.
Goody, I like Shakespeare.
Well, you know, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth kind of book. Isn't that what they're trying to bring back? Slavery, bloodshed, kill them all and let God sort them out.
Murder, mayhem. Yeah, but the thing is, it's the normal people they're going to kill.
Yeah, but how's that going to go over with the folks for it being taught to their children? I mean, aren't we supposed to be raising our children to be in polite society?
This just slays me, Agnes. The basic laws of our republic, as well as our general civil and criminal laws, are related to Christian concepts of a representative form of government. That is not a Christian concept. You do not get the idea, you know, that you get representative forms of government primarily from the ancient Greeks, primarily not just the, more particularly the Athenians, and that gets sort of transmitted and transmuted through the Romans. But you don't get the idea of representative government until you get to the 17th century. And that's after the Enlightenment. Not the stupid Great Awakening, but the Enlightenment, when people rose up and cast off their silly superstitions and realized that people were going to be responsible for making people's lives better. Christian concepts of representative form of government, the rule of law, the equality of man and personal liberty. There's no concept of personal liberty in the New Testament. There's no concept of the equality of man. Because all through Paul's letters, slave this, slave that, oh yeah, and slaves get the door and be quiet in church. And women shall not have certain hairstyles and shall not be speaking up in church, lest they be an embarrassment to their husbands. Yeah, there's some equality.
How much dowry do we have for our girls?
Stop. I just find that so repugnant.
Sorry.
Your cat's in the way, dear. Well, let me at least let you know that for a short time at least, school children in the state of Alabama are still safe. WBIR in Knoxville reports that legislation to create Christian Heritage Week in Alabama's public schools and dedicate instruction time to the topic has stalled. Some lawmakers wondered if it would lead to, you know, this would stop them cold in Alabama, Judaism Heritage Week or Muslim Heritage Week or maybe Buddhist Heritage Week. The Alabama bill would designate, but you know that. After discussing the legislation, a state Senate committee voted to delay action on it and told the sponsors that it needs more work if it's going to pass. In other words, we don't want to be hearing about no Jew Heritage Week. You better fix it so if we do this, they can't have one of them. Who's responsible for this? Come on. Everybody. One, two, three. Conservatives! Conservatives care more about teaching fairy tales, spending taxpayer dollars to reinforce fairy tales to their children than they do with giving them the knowledge that will help them survive the coming decades. Knowing that the Old Testament sets up the mathematical value of pi as 3.0 will not
get you through the coming decades. However, a nice course in geometry or three-dimensional geometry where you learn the value of pi is 3.14. I'm sorry, I'm not good for the rest of it. That can help. Because that kind of mathematics, you know, that can help you understand science. That can help you understand statistics. That can help you understand the reasonable nature of inquiry. Just not in Alabama. And what a shame it is. Because while I was down there, I went to the old high school where I graduated. And they put on a very daring play called Seussical the Musical. And we came away from it very impressed, and it turns out that theater department is one of the best in the state. And we were all impressed, those of us who went, with the fact that Seussical the Musical, right there in Alabama, had an overt tolerance message, had an overt anti-war message. And yet it's this kind of legislation throws it all away. 30 minutes a day in what, history class? When somebody could actually be learning the real history of the United States, but they have to stop and pretend that Thomas Jefferson was a Southern Baptist? In other words, they have to take 30 minutes a day to lie to school children? Well, it has been stalled. It has not been stopped. Senate committee voted to delay action on it and told the sponsors that it needs more work if it's going to pass. These religious fiends in the Alabama legislature will find some way to try to poison the poor minds of unsuspecting children who probably already get a pretty big dose of it. See, this is what they're worried about in Alabama. You know, most people go to church, most people go to Sunday school, but not everybody, and they want to make sure that everybody gets a little bit of this stupid superstition rammed down their throats. Let's go to the phones. Susan calls from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan!
If they pass that, I am going to be contacting the ACLU and demanding that the state of Alabama, and I will find somebody in the state of Alabama to bring suit, to demand a Wiccan History Week.
Hey,
and they can learn all about witches.
That'd be cool, and you know, I got just the person to do it. This may predate you, but I can't think of anybody that would have more fun bringing a lawsuit like that than our good buddy Loretta Knoll.
And, you know, we could teach them how to when and how to raise Beltane fire, what sowing is, and a whole nine yards.
Sure, why not? And, you know, teach them about pentagrams, pentacles.
Yeah, how to call the quarters, how to cast a circle, how to cast a spell.
And the influence that it has had on American history. And we could start with, oh, I don't know, we could start with the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill, or the pentagram that's laid out in the urban planning of Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh. The witches tend to be very, very quiet. Very few of us are out of the closet. I came out of the closet because I frankly didn't give a rip anymore.
And see, I'm so nice, I'm not going to mention it's a broom closet.
Yes, well, hey, no, actually, it's
ba-dum-bum.
Not a broom closet.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't have brooms.
See, Agnes is sitting here saying, I'm going to set you on fire. You can't run one of those past me and not expect me to find it, Susan. I mean, but no, I understand what you're saying, for good reason. I mean, after all, did you hear the story in the top of the hour news? The French have finally debunked another religious relic.
Oh yeah, the Joan of Arc one.
Yeah, and of course she was burned for being a
witch.
Right.
Of course, what she was burned for was being
a fairly effective general of
She was burned because she insisted on running around in what passed for pants, carrying a sword and fighting instead of staying home and getting pregnant time after
and
time.
Doing a pretty good job of killing Englishmen.
Yes, she was really good at it. Now
when nobody else in France was.
Yeah. And as far as the Christian ideal of representative government, that's the Pope.
That's just crazy talk. I mean, there is no representative government in Christianity. To the extent that there's representative government in any Christian bodies like the synods or the exalted conclaves of the Southern Baptist Convention or whatever,
they're all absolute monarchies.
Well, you get delegates to the Southern Baptist Clavern or whatever, but uh-huh. those ideas of representative government were taken from America. It didn't give it to America.
Yeah, and if there is, and I know for a fact, like, I don't know how the Southern Baptists do it, but I can tell you the Mormon religion, they have their delegates the whole nine yards. But the minute the head of the Mormon church starts speaking, it is ex cathedra, and bam, everybody shuts up. That's the word of God.
Right, because he's a prophesying.
I know.
Yeah.
Just,
prophesy, brother. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a real hard time, and I'm going to pick off a lot of people, but you know what turned me against Christianity?
What's that?
The Bible.
Well, yeah. I was going to say Christianity. Was that what turned you against Christianity?
I don't know if it was Christianity per se, but it was what was in the Bible. When I read about a God that frankly has a temper of a spoiled 2-year-old and the morals of your local serial killer.
Yep.
Who needs it? And before somebody screams bloody murder, shall we take a, let me see. I think the gentleman I'm talking about is Elijah. He was bald old coot.
Oh, yeah, the guy that had all the children killed?
Yeah. God sent bears to have them ripped apart.
Precisely.
This is not a God I want anything to do with. Sorry, folks. That's the way I am.
Oh, no apology necessary. I was looking here. I'm trying to find it, and I can't. I had a graphic that was emailed to me showing number of people in the Bible killed by God, number of people in the Bible killed by Satan. And God is up by about 2.5 million.
Yeah, I know. It's just, the Bible, if you read it, and I have read it quite a few times.
Oh, I have too, but you talk about things putting you off. Okay, let's assume for a minute you're okay with the Bible. I mean, this is Holy Week, so we got to talk about this stuff. Let's assume you're okay with the Bible. Well, then you go and read Saint Jerome, and if that man won't put you off Christianity, nobody will. Or maybe you read Saint Augustine. This is a guy who was a lush and a sublime womanizer, real party boy. And he said, what was the famous quote? Save me from my sinful life, O Lord, but not yet.
Something like that. It can be used really ironic. The quotations of St. Augustine can be really funny if you view them in the right light. But the whole... besides the Bible itself, my biggest problem is I know the Jews kept incredible records. They can, even to this day, they can produce records of who went where and when at that time. The Romans kept even better records of who was killed, who and why, who was sentenced and why in the captured territory of what is now Israel.
Mm-hmm. Palestine.
Yeah. And nowhere in either one of those records can you prove anywhere that man ever, ever, ever existed.
It is not
like smoke.
There is a historical account, though, of the siege of Jerusalem when the Romans encircled the walls of the city, and people would try to sneak out at night and invariably get caught, and they were just crucified on hand. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people crucified.
Yeah, but that wasn't Jesus' crucifixion didn't happen during the siege of Rome.
No. It would have happened about 35, 40 years before.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, if it was part of a regular judicial proceedings, which according to the biblical account it was, where's the record?
They were pretty good at it. But then again, to be fair, Susan, there is no record of every single solitary slave that Crassus crucified along the Appian Way.
Mm-hmm. You have two different people, both great with records, and he's like smoke. Now, I'm not saying he didn't exist. I'm just saying this is fishing.
Well, I mean, a name like Yeshua was as common as being named
Mud, yeah,
Phil, or Fred. So I'm sure that I'm sure there were more than one, plenty of crucifixes named Yeshua.
That, a potential savior would have in that time, because it was a very apocalyptic time. The Jews were aching for a Messiah. All of the writings from that period, that's what they wanted, that's what they were waiting for and praying for.
Mm-hmm.
If someone had shown up claiming to be the Messiah, people would have started writing.
Well, and the argument is that they did, and that's how we get the Gospels.
They only started writing.
But those things were only put into writing, 35 years after the crucifixion, 50 years after the crucifixion at best, sure.
I found that
graphic, and it was, in fact, sent to me by your fellow news ninja, Gene.
Ah.
Who killed more people in the Bible? God, 2,038,344. Satan, 10.
Yeah, I can remember being in I was a history nut in high school, and I can remember being in my world history class, arguing with my teacher. We had some fantastic arguments, and he was going on about the Crusades, and he said, "But all of these people were killed," and I kept telling him, "The people who killed the most Christians were other Christians."
Sure.
And that's been true all through history. And it's all based on this book. It's steeped in blood.
It is indeed.
It's a massacre manual. I don't want any part of it. I'm sorry. If that offends people, well, that's life.
Well, yeah, but I mean, see, this legislation, when I read it, it makes me want to scream, because, the unmitigated lies that are contained in the findings of fact by the Alabama legislature, that the individual liberties and freedoms America has are based on Christian principles and freedoms sought by founders who left the old world to avoid religious persecution. Such Christian principles provide the basis for the freedom of religion that Americans enjoy without being required to subscribe to any particular religion or belief. That's just a load of hooey.
For one thing, a big chunk of the people in America in 1776 were descendants of people who had been forcibly sent over after the risings in Scotland. Basically, that's how your ancestors and my ancestors, they either got there willingly or involuntarily.
Right. Well, hey, you want to really scream? I got one for you.
Mm.
This is, again, out of the Alabama legislation. Many historical events are directly related to Christian principles. For example, when America suffered this... Alabama, remember, Susan? Alabama. For example, when America suffered with the abomination of slavery, the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution was passed in 1868, removing this blight on American history, and a minister of the gospel, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., brought to fruition the 14th Amendment's equality of man. Similarly, other historical events relating to the protection of our individual rights have been formed and result from the understanding of Christian principles expressed in the Old and New Testaments of the Holy Bible.
Oh, my God.
You know, where's the line in there about the fact that the dignity of man and nonviolence and everything that made Dr. Martin Luther King what he was
came from Gandhi?
Came from Gandhi.
Who said, I like your Christ, but I don't like
they're so, I do not like your Christians. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. They're so unlike your Christ. And you know, I guess this is an easy target for us, Susan.
Yes.
Because it is so wrong. You know, our public school system is absolutely nigh slain by the No Child's Behind Left Act.
Oh, yeah. If I had a kid in school, I would be homeschooling.
It's getting tempting.
Because
I got to tell you.
I wouldn't want to subject my kids to this, because I fully expect it won't be too many years before they're going to start hauling people like me in, either to get mail or just piling up the faggots. And I'm talking faggots as in
sticks.
Wood.
Yes. Paragraph 11. Much confusion exists. God, this is so hard. Much confusion exists in America today on the appropriate acknowledgement of these important principles and our Christian heritage. One of the purposes of this act is to make non-religious teaching of these things a requirement of Alabama law, and to remove any hesitancy or fear of repercussion or reprisal for such teaching by public school officials. Hee-wee!
Oh, God, that is so wrong on so many levels. What about the poor thoughts who don't want to listen to that? What happens if you're Jewish?
Yeah.
Or Muslim, or Hindu, or Wiccan?
Or agnostic.
Yeah. Or agnostic.
Or, you know,
or even.
Yeah, or rational.
Yeah, just rational. I don't want to listen. I don't want to listen to that.
You know, I would never dream of making my Agnes and our children part of something like this. But how could that first scholastic week of November roll around and you not look at this? If you're even halfway rational, you don't look at the school board and say, dear Mr. School Principal and Mr. the School Board President, little Johnny will not be attending school this week because you're teaching irrational crap this week. Let us know when you're done with the fairy tales and we'll send him back to school.
Yeah.
And then dare him to send the damn truant officer.
Yeah. And are the kids' grades going to be affected if you pull him out? Because I would think...
Sounds to me like religious persecution. Sure.
Yeah. On its face, it's unconstitutional because you're penalizing these kids if they happen to be of a different religion. And I don't know about you, but that just really burns me.
Well, I guarantee you that since it's been sent back by the committee for a redraft... It'll gall the fundies some, Susan, but it'll come back as Religious Heritage Week.
Religion Heritage Week is just as bad.
Because that way, and it'll have a clause in it about the contributions of Jews and Muslims and Jainists and Hindus and Buddhists.
But no witches.
No witches, and certainly no agnostics and no atheists.
And no Satanists, because, well, actually, according to law, Satan is a religion, although I think they're a little strange.
It really would be fun to play with these people, because,
you could
write to them, tell, okay, fine, but I don't want any teaching about Benjamin Franklin.
Tell you what, you know people, right?
You know what I mean? No Benjamin Franklin, because that man went to a synagogue and a church.
Well, you know what I was thinking?
What's that?
If even if it comes back as a religion thing, I'm going to show I'm going to find me a Satanist in Alabama who's willing to bury space, and we're going to show up and hold a black mass.
Oh yeah, they'd love that.
Wants to volunteer for the living altar.
You know, I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about that, Susan. I don't know if I want to. The most I know about that stuff is the occasional viewing of a rerun of Buffy.
It's an honest-to-God religion. I think they're strange. I don't really like them, but that's their religion.
You know, for my part, if we're gonna declare a national religion, and this is just my bias, I'd really like to see the Rastafarians make a push.
Well, how about that?
Can you see Jerry Falwell just high on a big old honking spleef? What happens if James Dobson catches a fire?
Oh Lord.
It's almost frightening to contemplate, because then they'd start having visions, and you know, but they'd just be babbling away with Jesus. Peyote for Brother Robertson. No, Pat Robertson's already into the peyote, I think.
Yeah, well, you know the law of the threefold path. Everything they do is going to come back at them threefold.
Oh, but it doesn't. But it doesn't say when. It doesn't say when.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why. Yeah. Well. My theory is that, but it does offer a certain amount of comfort anyway. Although, personally, I like the idea of giving Johnson a kissy fit just on general principles all on my own, if I can manage it, is a good thing.
Oh, I continue to read this book, The Jesus Machine, and I'm just amazed by what an evil freak James Dobson is.
Oh, yeah.
And like I've said before, it's a pretty even-handed treatment of him. But when the Dobson people found out the title of the book, the author Dan Gilgoff says he received the most vile, hate-filled, invective-laced email that he has ever received.
Oh, I am not surprised. I'm waiting to get it through my library. I'm dying to read it.
Well, you know, if you can get hold of misquoting Jesus before that, or better yet, the book about the discovery of the Judas Gospel is fascinating too.
Yeah,
Susan, I'm going to roll along.
Yeah, I kept you talking too long.
No, that's okay. You take care.
You have a nice night.
All right, will do. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, let's see. 16 minutes and change before the hour. We'll take a quick break and come back. I filibobstered last night, and I'm trying to be good this time. More Holy Week celebration when we get back. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. And I'm Bob.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise. surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network. When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided they can't do that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Sing! You can do magic!
You can have anything that you desire. Magic!
Couple skate!
And you know you're
backward skate!
You can put out the fire.
12 minutes before the hour. Oh, Agnes is she's in the zone. She's in the zone, I tell you. We're going to go straight to the phones in just a second. I want to share something with you. It just popped in by email, though. Our good buddy Cindy writes in and says, I read this letter to the editor yesterday in my scrungy little small-town paper, and it made me sick. I answered it, of course, below. Makes a good quick read for your show this afternoon, and it's on topic. And so the letter to the editor in the scrungy little paper says, have you ever noticed the meticulous way an honor guard folds the American flag over a coffin? Do you know the meaning of it? The flag is folded 13 times. Ever wonder why? The first fold is a symbol of life. The second fold is a symbol of eternal life. The third fold is in honor and remembrance of our veterans who gave their lives for our country. The fourth fold represents trusting in God. It is to Him we turn in times of peace and in times of war for divine guidance. The fifth fold is in honor of our country. The sixth fold is where people's hearts lay. The seventh fold is a tribute to all our armed forces. The eighth fold is a tribute to the one who has entered into the valley of the shadow of death. The ninth fold is a tribute to mothers. The tenth fold is a tribute to fathers. The 11th fold represents the lower portion of the seal of King David and Solomon. The 12th fold represents an emblem of eternity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The 13th fold, when the flag is completely folded, the stars are uppermost, reminding them of their nation's motto, In God We Trust. As a Americans, we should never forget the meaning of our flag or the way it is folded in times of loss. Larry J. Davis of Longview. So, yeah, Cindy being Cindy, writes and says, and so I had to respond with a letter of my own. Flag is folded 13 times. Have you ever noticed the meticulous way an honor guard folds the American flag over a coffin? Do you know the meaning of it? The flag is folded 13 times. Ever wonder why? The 13 folds are in honor of the original 13 colonies that fought for our freedom from the oppression of the King of England and joined to form the original Union of the United States of America under our Constitution. As Americans, we should never forget the meaning of our flag or the way it is folded in times of loss. Larry J. Davis of Longview is making up a religious myth. Go, Cindy, go. There's hope. As long as there, you know, as long as there's Cindy's out there and Susan's and me and you, all of us rational people, to oppose the silly, goofy crap. Let's go to the phones. Robert is calling all the way from Japan. Hey, Robert, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. A little bit cold here, though.
And same here.
Yeah, but school's finally started up. The new year started up, so the kids are off to school, so I can actually sit down in a nice, quiet home and give you a call.
Mm.
So
wonderful.
Yes, and the cherry blossoms are out, so it's kind of nice.
Oh. I was talking to someone just today who said over this way that the cherry his cherry tree had bloomed, and it looked like the blossoms were going to take a hit from the cold weather.
Ah, right. Yeah, I wanted to, I mean, your last comment about the folding business. I wish some of the parents would actually fold some non-violence into their children so that they're not running off to armies all the time to try to kill people.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that would solve the problem. So,
it would go a long way at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like I don't teach my children to go play in front of, go out on the highway and play and run in front of trucks and stuff. I mean, that's kind of, you know, common sense, and I wouldn't want to, you know, teach my children to go out and, you know, have some fun, shock and all, to go out to a war and try to, you know, kill people. I mean, is that what this life's all about, I reckon? I mean, at the end of the day, I think if God is a creator, then we should be creating too, not just, you know, killing people, but, you know, creating art, work of art, literature, you know, whatever. But, anyway, that's my commentary on folding.
Very well said.
So, anyway, I wanted to ask your opinion about this little rumor that went that's been going around about from the Russian Secret Service about us invading Iran tomorrow.
Right. And I've still our good friend Malin sent me this story as well. A couple other people too. The only place I've been able to find it is, well, this came from UK Indie Media, but it's ultimately picked up from Rents.com.
Right.
I wouldn't put something as sleazy as an attack on Good Friday past the Bush administration any sooner than I would put a hog's attack and slop in a trough, you know, past a hog.
Yeah.
It's the way they are. It's what they do.
Right.
The other thing that is bothersome, however, is this thing in the same article that also points out Tehran sources report that in the contest within the Iranian leadership over how to handle the affair of the captured British seamen, the worst, wildest radical element has gained the upper hand, reducing the prospects of their imminent release. That's in the same article.
Uh-huh.
So it makes me a little skeptical. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, Robert, I'm going to be inclined to this thing. According to the article, the attack on Iran is supposed to go down between 4 p.m. and 4 a.m. or 4 a.m. on April 6th. So actually, that should be pretty close to now, local time, Tehran.
Mm. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
It's supposed to be a 12-hour attack, according to this report, 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. local Tehran time. So we should know pretty quick.
Yeah.
And but you know, bear in mind also that we have an intelligence apparatus in this country that has every bit as much invested in disinformation
as in the gathering of information.
Well, that's the problem in a nutshell, isn't it? What to believe, what not to believe, and my whole reaction on this is that it just ends up making me nervous, and connecting the dots. We got a lunatic in the office that could do this and probably would love to do this. Has stated pretty much in effect that he would like to do this. He wants regime change, and I'm getting to the point
where I hate that phrase, don't you?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because regime change actually translates to a lot of poor people who don't have a dog in the hunt get slaughtered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm getting to the point where the idea of hoarding food is actually it makes a lot of sense. Because if this does happen, then the oil then gets shut off, and food's transported mostly on trucks which run on oil, and then. Then China starts putting the screws on the states, on the dollar, and everything just goes to crap, as you can imagine.
Well, am I wrong when I assert that Japan cannot feed itself?
Yeah. I mean, we're dependent on food and food imports as well. And a lot of it comes from China. We had that discussion before. Why the Chinese are shipping us vegetables? I don't even understand. One little digression there. Wasn't that pet food? Didn't I hear correctly that the wheat that was poisoned actually came from China?
Yes.
What is China's?
Has that hit the Japanese media?
Well, I've just watched it on CNN. I don't think. I think it's gotten a little bit oppressive in the Japanese media, but it's kind of like the American problem. So who cares? That's weird, isn't it? China shipping wheat to America. I don't know, it's getting so weird that I having less and less trust in the food supply, because think about it. If there was a big problem, and inflation strikes, the food prices go way up. You can't afford to buy food anymore. The idea of not having a lot of food in the closet somewhere, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You got to have something to, I don't know.
Well, something like food hoarding is predicated on the notion that because nobody can hoard enough to last more than a season or so.
Right, right.
And it's predicated on the idea that there will, it has to be, if there's to be any rationality to it, it has to be predicated on the idea that there will be some fairly immediate fix.
Well, yeah, that's the whole problem. I was even going through, what should I start saving up first, but the most I could probably save up for, and it would take me a few months to do this, would be maybe a year, you start World War III with the Muslims and start nuking, parts of Iran, it's going to last for several years.
Oh, yeah, and I'm thinking, if you were to do it, what would you start with, beans and rice?
I would be beans and rice and canned meat and canned vegetables,
dried
and
meat, food. Yeah,
yeah. Toothpaste because you don't lose your teeth. So I sort of got it all figured out. So I'm lazily going about doing this. But these reports, all they do is they end up making you more nervous. But then, what do you do about your nervousness? Because we do have a lunatic in office. We all agree on that, and he would probably love to start World War III.
And see, he's got a bunker he can go to that is very similar to whatever was going on in Dr. Strangelove, Robert.
Yeah.
And the entire Senate and the entire Congress have a bunker to go to.
Yep.
They will not go hungry. Their loved ones will not go hungry.
Nope.
Under any circumstance, if they survive, they will live as well or better than any other survivor. But, some of this, I fear, presupposes and is preyed upon by the fears that have already been planted by people like the Bush administration. Iran could not nuke us if they wanted to, and could not do so for the next 10 to 20 years.
Right.
I still can't get a satisfactory answer to the question I keep posing, and I've asked it a lot of people. Knowing as we do that Israel has 100, 200, God only knows how many nuclear devices, Pakistan has them. India has them. And has them in sufficient profusion to cause real mayhem, real mischief, real chaos. Why is it that the Iranians having one is the source of so much tension?
I mean, Pakistan could change in a few days. They could overthrow that one little dictator, and it could be a whole different show there.
And the minute that they do, Robert, the ISI, which is fully infiltrated by Taliban supporters, who are of a Muslim religious persuasion that loathes, detests, and despises the Shia, they become a threat not so much to the United States, but certainly to their border-sharing neighbor, Iran.
Right.
Because the loonies in the Taliban might not hesitate to use a nuke. But the thing is, they hate the Shia as much or more than they hate the Jews. And it would be a lot more easy to deliver a nuclear device to Iran than to Jerusalem or some portion of Israel. They don't have to worry about, because you know, if you're a devout Muslim, then you're going to have a real moral qualm. I mean, even if you're a fundamentalist weirdo devout Muslim, right?
Right.
You're going to have real moral qualms about, even if the burst isn't over Jerusalem, the effect of it will be felt there in the form of fallout and, what, ambient radiation.
Right.
You're not going to feel nearly as badly about doing that to Tehran, because there aren't any significant Sunni Muslim holy sites that I'm aware of in Tehran, and the prevailing winds are such that the fallout probably wouldn't hit Mecca or Medina.
Well, the end result is the speculators would drive the price of gasoline up for maybe, what, I don't know, 30, 40 times the price?
Yeah. But see, I sometimes I kind of hate myself, Robert, because I sit around thinking about this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, me too. I mean, that's why I listened to this report and I said, okay, what do I do? You know, because at the end of the day, it's going to affect me, even though I'm way over here in Japan. We get this idea of insulation, and you know, that's insane. Everything runs on oil, you know.
Exactly, and the oil that that Japan runs on, what I guess a lot of it comes from the North Slope.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they managed to work that out quite well, I think. At the end of the day, the price of the price will go up, and you know, it affects food prices, and I get to the point. Well, maybe the idea of putting 6 months away of food does make some sense, especially until this lunatic gets out of office.
That may be the short term that you're looking at. Because I don't think any kind of set aside could deal with a period of time any greater than that.
Yeah, I mean, unless I had a whole bunch of money to throw at it, but then there's the space, and all of that. But at the end of the day, the best solution is to get a change in the White House as quickly as possible.
Yes, it is, and that that brings up issues of impeachment. And I've got an article here in front of me, headline, Biden, impeaching Bush is possible but impractical. This is something he said in Iowa. He said a case could be made to impeach President Bush, but such a step would be politically impractical. Told about 200 students at Drake University Law School Tuesday that most Americans wouldn't want to impeach Bush.
Yeah, but the Republicans didn't have that kind of qualm or this discussion when they went after Clinton.
No,
they right. They didn't have this kind of discussion at all.
And he goes on and he said, and I think he thinks he's being really cute and really clever by saying this, Robert. He says, Biden does. I don't want to impeach Bush because I don't want Cheney as president. Well, see where the place I'm coming from, the impeachment has to be a twofer.
Yeah. Yeah. Easily.
You got to get them both, because if George Bush is guilty of it, then de facto, at least in this regime, de facto, Cheney is guilty of it.
Sure.
I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen that video that's out there? It's over. I found it over at Wonkat. It's also linked at BartCop.com of Cheney standing there watching George deliver an address in the Rose Garden.
Okay, I have to check that one out.
You and everybody else, you must see this. This is the creepiest thing I have seen in a long, long time. Because it starts with a close-up. Now, here I go, talking about video on the radio again, you know, dancing about architecture. It starts with a close-up of Cheney, and then it's apparently a pretty long lens. Then it backs up. And it's all, by the way, it's also at the show post at headonradionetwork.com. But the shot backs up until you see, you can barely see Cheney, and you see Bush standing there, and it's like Cheney's watching him like, oh, I don't know, like some sort of something out of Star Wars where, you know, the young apprentice evil thing is being watched by the old master evil thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's disturbing. I think the caption at Wonkette says that Cheney has become some sort of creepy character from a really terrifying sleazy David Lynch film.
Yeah, he gives me such the major. I just can't see him ever leaving that the post of vice president peacefully. I just don't see him giving up the power. He's just too much of a freak.
Well, that's why it has to be done in legal constitutional fashion, so that if he refuses, somebody goes and gets him and takes him out. And by takes him out, I mean physically removes him from the premises.
Yeah.
Can't have Agent Fred thinking that I mean take him out by any other, and I don't mean that.
No, I want you on the radio for at least a couple more years, at least.
Yeah, please. At least until we get our government back, right?
Exactly, right.
Well, Robert, thank you so much. I wish you a very good morning. It's always so good to hear from you. When I got home, one of the first things that I did was to look through the beautiful, beautiful books you'd sent.
Oh, okay. Good.
And they are absolutely gorgeous. The Buddha's Journey Home. Is that properly pronounced Giga?
Yeah, Giga. Yeah, just Giga, yeah.
Yeah, New Aesopian Fables and the Color Illustrated Edition. These are beautiful, and they're sort of mind-opening, too. I love these fables, and we've been reading them to the children.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I wrote the one on Bush about the oak tree and the bush, as you can see in my notes, I talked about George Bush, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote that, I said, you know, it's kind of soft, kind of mild-mannered, and that's why I wanted to start writing political fables.
Right.
So I've got about 10 of those done, and maybe this spring and this summer I'll finish that up. And then, like I said, I'd like you to have the honor of writing the foreword to it.
Absolutely. I'd be pleased. It would, and I'd really want to do the right thing by you too, because this is profound stuff.
Yeah, it's just a little hobby of mine. I kind of like it, but I think the idea of personal wisdom is very, very important for young adults and adults and even children. So,
Without a doubt. For folks that might like to get their hands on them, I know you went through Lulu.com to print them, but you can go to Amazon and get these, right?
You can get the Giga one now, but I've just uploaded the latest ones because I had a second editor go through them all again, so now they're all perfect. And so I'm going to give final approval to that, to the book, in a couple of weeks, and then after a couple more weeks, then it goes off to Amazon. So, but they can go to Lulu and get them right now.
Okay.
Or download them, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's only like $2 or $3, so.
Sure.
Large gigabytes. I think I sent Agnes the Japanese fables by Sendit, which is a file transfer.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't too sure if she got that though.
I don't know. She's sort of busily producing away here, but we'll find out.
Okay. If not, then you can email me and I'll send it again.
Okay, Robert. Thank you so very much, and a wonderful day to you.
You too. Now.
And hopefully by Monday we will have averted disaster.
I hope so. I hate, you know, being nervous. I'd like to relax, and you know, the cherry blossoms are out, and it's kind of a relaxed time and be happy time. And
yeah, it's a time that you're supposed to actually cherish, there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, spring is a nice liberal season. You know, it's it's not filled with pain like winter is or summer.
No, so. And or the foreboding of coming pain like autumn.
Yeah, exactly right. So I like to enjoy it, you know. So
yeah,
these little reports don't make me happy. So
no, not at all. Thank you very kindly.
Okay, you take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye bye. Our good friend Robert Long in Japan. Yeah, you can go to lulu.com and get these books. The one, Giga, you can already get at Amazon. New Aesopian Fables. These are beautiful, beautiful books. And, yeah, we're a little late doing it, but I'm not going to fill a bobster for 2 solid hours again like I did last night. We're going to go do the news. You want to get involved in the program? Jump right in. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. You are listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Disco Bob.
Is the Quality News Network. 15 British sailors and Marines are now back home in England after being held by Iran for nearly 2 weeks. Smiling family and friends greeted the group at Heathrow Airport before the sailors and Marines were taken to a nearby base for debriefing. While British Prime Minister Tony Blair said he was glad of their return unharmed, he went on to mention the loss of 4 other British troops. Insurgents ambushed and killed the 4 and their civilian translator today in southeastern Iraq. South of Baghdad, enemy fire brought down a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter. All 9 of the crew on board survived. 2 men have been arrested for allegedly plotting last week's truck bombing that killed 152 in the mostly Shia city of Tal Afar in Iraq. It was the single deadliest insurgent attack since the conflict began, and it became the catalyst for a revenge rampage that killed 47 Sunnis. British prosecutors have filed the first charges in connection with the London Transit bombings in 2005 that killed 52 people. 3 men arrested last month are charged with conspiring in the suicide attacks. Customs agents and the FBI have busted up an arms smuggling gang that was moving weapons purchased in the United States to Tamil Tiger rebels fighting in Sri Lanka. In a 3-year operation, undercover agents tracked the dealers from Baltimore to Guam. The weapons included surface-to-air missiles, grenade launchers, and machine guns. A delegation from the UN Security Council will visit Kosovo and Serbia later this month. The UN's chief mediator in the region has recommended limited independence for Kosovo, a position opposed by Serbia, Russia, and South Africa. Demonstrations are continuing against Ukrainian President Viktor Yushchenko. He's refusing to back down from his decision to dissolve parliament and call early elections. Yushchenko is in a standoff with the country's prime minister. And Sudan's Darfur region is in dire straits. 2.2 million people have fled their homes. They're escaping fighting in the region. Reuters reports more than 70 tribes are fighting for everything from power to cattle. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
The UN Security Council is scheduled to debate climate change later this month. It's the first time the topic's been addressed by the world body. The UK lobbied for that debate, saying the issue is a matter of global security. 27 employees at the Quality Service Integrity Cleaning Company have been charged for allegedly hiring illegal immigrants. They've also been stealing the identities of U.S. citizens to hide their hiring practices. And the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety today reported only 22 of 75 vehicles tested in a rear-end crash were rated as good. The Institute says the neck injuries typical in such a crash account for at least $8.5 billion in claims annually. The nation's leading electronics chain, Best Buy, posted an 18% jump in quarterly profits, while rival Circuit City reported a quarterly loss of more than $12 million. The chain's announced it will close 62 of its Canadian stores and replace 3,400 of its top employees with lower-paid workers. Oil is trading at $64.28. It was another up day for Wall Street at the close of the market today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 30, the NASDAQ was up 13, and the S&P closed up 4. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
16 past the hour. Oh, where to go, where to go, where to go. You know. Stop it, Agnes. There's stuff out there that just breaks your heart, and there's stuff out there that just makes you boil. And in the midst of all of this poppycock about how it's the Democrats' fault for wanting to bring the troops home, see, that's how you do it. You say the Democrats want to bring the troops home because that's true. But see, that's really difficult journalism, because you actually have to read stuff and learn and figure it out and find out the Democrats are trying to bring the troops home, as opposed to just ripping the thing off the printer. Oh, you know, Republicans say Democrats trying to surrender to Osama or something. A lot easier just to report what the Republicans tell you to report. But in the midst of all of this, oh, this is political posturing. No, this is an attempt to end the damn war, George. This is an attempt to bring the troops home so they can go back to their regular lives. Hopefully before they are shattered beyond all recognition, George, you murderous freak, you. In the midst of all that, you find these stories coming out, and I'm sure you've probably already seen it. Or not. A little bit of analysis from the folks over at Editor and Publisher. Two soldiers killed in Iraq in February may have died as a result of friendly fire and not from enemy fire, as was originally reported. One of the soldiers died just hours after arriving in Iraq and was one of those troops who rushed to the country in the surge, the escalation of the war, and he did not receive full training. See, war is business, and fighting wars is business, and no, I was not in the military. I deliberately turned down an opportunity to be in the military because I wanted nothing to do with that evil old
rotten rat bastard Ronald Reagan. But I do have enough common sense to understand that you have to be trained to go to war. You have to learn how stuff works. You have to learn how the unit works, how to function inside that unit. I understand that. It turns out that this particular individual, Private Matthew Zeimer, I'm going to have to get bifocals. Yeah, Zeimer. 18 years old, of Glendive, Montana. And specialist Alan E. McPeak, 20, of Tucson, Arizona. They were killed in Ramadi, February 2nd. They were told they were killed by, their families were told they were killed by enemy fire. That may not be so. May have been killed by U.S. forces. But then the reportage begins with an article out of the Savannah, Georgia Morning News on February 9th that reports, quote, at least 143 soldiers joined Fort Stewart's 1st Brigade too late to participate in a final combat exercise before their units deployed to Iraq. Last week, one of these soldiers, Private Matthew T. Zeimer, 18 years old, was the first from the brigade to be killed when he was hit by enemy fire in Ramadi, the stronghold of Iraq's Sunni insurgency. Zeimer arrived at Fort Stewart on December 18th after basic training and deployed to Iraq just a few weeks later. He missed the brigade's intensive four-week mission rehearsal in October when more than 1,300 trainers and Iraqi role players came to the post as part of the most realistic training program the Army offers for Iraq operations. The fact some of the brigade's 4,000 soldiers missed that training raises questions about how well the Army is preparing troops for war in the face of accelerated and repeat deployments. See, even there, they don't get it right. The fact some of the brigade's 4,000 soldiers missed that training raises questions about how much the Bush administration actually does support the troops. This kid, and he was a kid. My God, he was 7 years older than my son. He's a kid. This kid was literally fresh out of basic training, where the sum and substance of his existence had been learning to say yes, drill sergeant, and no, drill sergeant, or some similar affirmation and denial mechanism. He had learned how to make his gun shoot. I know, this is my rifle, this is my gun, stop it. He had learned to tie his combat boots and to make his pants blouse nicely. He had learned to do nice square corners in his mattress so that a coin would bounce off of it. He had learned to shout chanty rhymes at the top of his lungs while running with a pack on his back. He had learned to climb perhaps a net rope ladder or swing across a mud pit on a rope. But he had not learned how to fight. He had not learned how to try to survive in the vile, filthy, hellish meat grinder that is Iraq. He had not learned that. Many, many other soldiers sent over in Georgia's surge that he claims the generals wanted, but we now know he was lying about, that the generals did not want. Another piece of crap cooked up in the mind of some slithering lizard-like neocon, this Surge. this escalation of the war carried upon the backs of poorly trained troops. You don't win wars on the backs of 18-year-olds who are just fresh out of learning how to be spit and polish. They have to be trained, especially now, you know, because this is a professional military. Well, in a professional military, you don't take the most valuable resource you have, to wit, a human being, and thrust him right into the crucible. He must be trained with and that sounds like at least a viable attempt at teaching soldiers what they're facing. 4 weeks intensive with real Iraqis. But he didn't get there, and it didn't matter because he had to go anyway. And then it appears he was shot by one of his own. At a late February press briefing, White House spokesman Tony Snow was asked about reports that two Army brigades were being sent to Iraq without any desert training. His reply was widely quoted at the time, "Well, but they can get desert training elsewhere, like in Iraq." And you wonder why it is that I really don't care about what's happening in Tony Snow's insides. Because, you see, the evil ate Tony Snow up a hell of a long time before the cancer did. Smartass. We can get desert training elsewhere, like in Iraq. Hey, Tony, how about we get you some desert training, buddy? Like in Iraq. We'll give you every bit as high a quality armor as your boy George sent thousands of Americans there without. The official Defense Department site that announces fatalities carries the original report on the pair's death along with the most recent update. The initial report read, quote, "They died February 2nd in Ramadi, Iraq, of injuries sustained when they came in contact with enemy forces using small arms fire." The update, quote, "On April 4th, 2007, the Army announced an ongoing unit-level investigation into the circumstances of the soldiers' deaths and that friendly fire is suspected." God, 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 God. They hadn't been taught yet how to get out of the way of their own fellow soldiers. How do you have that conversation with that mother or that fiancé or that wife or that girlfriend or that daddy, that uncle, that brother, that sister, that cousin? How do you explain to them that your president has sent that youngster into harm's way before he could even be remotely taught to survive in such a situation? How do you do it? I don't know. This is not an isolated incident. This is the kind of story that you will be hearing more and more frequently. We talk about lives cut short, opportunities vanquished, hope vanished, and we can never do justice to the future that got killed. Not just the person, the future gets killed with these children. The future gets killed. In the abortion debate, it is nothing to hear a freak like Randall Terry say, "Well, maybe that aborted baby would have cured cancer." How many different intersections are there in the web that is life that will be canceled because the Bush administration was in too all fired bloody a hurry to hustle untrained troops into battle? Who doesn't get saved? Who doesn't get born? What doesn't get discovered? Because 18-year-old boys couldn't be taught quite yet how to get the hell out of the way of a bullet fired by one of his own comrades. Don't know about you, but it makes me think. We'll come back after a break. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. Lines are open. And we've only got a few minutes left, but we'll try to work in some calls. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
25 till, and we go straight to the phones. Our good friend Rick calls in from deep in the heart of Texas. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Hey, my friend. How are you doing? I'd like to call you Brother Bob, but I was a sinner and missed prayer meeting yesterday.
Oh, but, you know, there's always communion in the Cathedral of Common Sense.
Ah, sounds great. Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that, how it was Wednesday and everything. And remember that little conversation we had, six, seven, eight, 9 months, maybe a year ago, where I said we might as well just forget about the winged nuts on the Christian white, right, because they're of no importance?
Yeah.
Turned out that way. None of their voting did any good. They didn't get any of their people elected. We came out of it pretty well. And here's even better news. Look at everybody now who's calling themselves independent.
Because they can't bear to call them. They won't allow themselves to be associated with the Republican Party because it's so filthy.
Right. And they can't call themselves Democrats after spending so many years running us down.
Right. They can't, yeah.
And calling us names and saying, you know, that you know, we're jerk-kneed liberals and all that kind of stuff. They can't do that. So they're calling themselves independent. And that's fine. Because most of them are going to vote Democrat. As stupid as they may be, they're still going to go to their best interest. And their best interest at this point is the Democratic Party.
I so sincerely hope you're correct.
I think I kind of see that. You know, in my little microcosm here, of course, I'm evil. My family hates to go out to eat with me anymore because I always manage to talk as loud as I can to the Republicans have been. And how I wonder how they can look in the mirror each day after they realize how they really screwed things up in the country. So last night, my sweet wife was actually feeling so good. We went out and had one of those magnificent steaks that you could only get here. Sorry. The truth.
I know exactly, and I agree. You're absolutely right.
And, of course, I started in, and my daughter and my wife both tried to walk away. But luckily, I still had the oxygen tank, so my wife couldn't get away. She was stuck there. I really do believe that the independents are going to vote Democrat. I don't think they're going to be that stupid anymore.
Well, they don't have much on the other side. I mean, the independents who quit being Republicans but still remain evangelical, Rick, they can't vote for Giuliani. Not when they're going to be... And you know, I mean, you and I are both tolerant people, so please don't take anything by me saying this, but they can't vote for a guy with whom they're going to be confronted with a picture of in a dress and a Marilyn Monroe wig.
Which they're going to see constantly, and I'll stick it up.
I'll help.
Place I can.
And they can't vote for McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Because McCain hasn't any family values.
They can't. They will not vote for Romney because he's a Mormon.
I hope not.
They won't. And, you know, outside of the Mormon...
Now, he's got the Mormon vote sewed up.
Right. He's getting
all in his sacred money. Underwear, as far as I can tell. I mean,
he's getting tons and tons of money from them, but that's not going to pay out in the nation. It's not going to do it.
And you know, and he's trying to disarm people by saying, I believe that marriage should be a man, but be between a man and a woman and a woman and a woman. But that's not going to play very well either, Rick, because we know at the end of the day, in his heart of hearts, he believes that.
Yeah.
Now, then... I don't think mainstream American men believe that.
No.
Married men.
No. Any married man would know better than think that you should have more than one wife. I mean, come on, God love Patty and Agnes, but good God, can you imagine putting up with more than one?
You know, I want to crawl under a rock when one gets mad at me. If two started on me, or three, or four. You know, I'm reminded of the wonderful cab driver that Wayne and I had in D.C. who explained to us that particular tenet of Islam was simply insane. And he's the one that sort of looked up in his rearview mirror at us and said, "I love my wife, but there are days when I have to turn the cell phone off."
Absolutely. And can you imagine up to four? And you're allowed to have up to four.
Mm-hmm.
And what is heaven? Heaven, come on, they get to kill themselves, and then they get to go to heaven and have...
And there's 72!
72 versions. I think they made a mistake. I think it's probably a 72-year-old virgin.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know.
Sorry. Man.
No, I'm sorry. It makes my brain begin to smoke and little noises come out of my ears because, you know, I mean, we're being a little bit facetious, but no, America's not going to buy into that. So no. Romney's out, McCain's out, Giuliani's out.
And what does that leave?
Newt Gingrich.
Well, yeah, but I can't see him making it past anything anymore. I mean, people pretty well realize.
Well, now you're down to Tom Tancredo and Sam Brownback.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure, absolutely sure that it's going to be Giuliani or Kane will get the nomination. But then what are they left to vote for? They're going to have them or whoever's the Democratic nomination. Now, I can see women haters not wanting to vote, you know, for Clinton plus Clinton haters. And I can see racist people not wanting to vote for a black president.
And that at the bottom line, Rick, is why I think, apart from, you know, just the generalized Hillary hate not otherwise specified, that is why the right wing is having such a frenzy over Obama, because they know that they can, and this is a new phrase, I guess, they can corker him.
They can. They absolutely can. And it's a shame because he is the smartest of the bunch.
And don't think for a minute that in Alabama and Mississippi, and especially since McCain hired the dude anyway, Rick, don't think that the McCain ads that run down there won't have jungle drums every time Obama's name is mentioned, and his middle name, Hussein, will be on the lips of every single conservative and every single Republican down there.
Absolutely. And it's not going to be any different than Pennsylvania or New Hampshire or any other place. Look, I can remember when we already had here in Texas court-ordered bus for 10, almost 15 years. I went to Ohio, and they just started that year, and they were having gigantic race riots. And that was in the 80s, the late 80s.
Yeah.
So, you know, this stuff is deep. I saw more Confederate flags in Pennsylvania than I do in Texas. So, you know, I really have a problem. I don't think he can make it. And I think probably Hillary's carrying too much baggage. Kucinich would be absolutely wonderful, but no one's going to give him any airtime.
And I don't understand that.
Well, because what he's saying is, you know, we've got to raise taxes, and let's face it, news people are rich people. There is no such thing as a news anchor who doesn't make six figures.
No, there is no such thing as a starving news anchor, a poor but honest news anchor.
Look at Keith Olbermann. Love the man.
Yeah.
But when I first started watching him, there was 90 minutes of news. I'm sorry, 90% of the time was news.
Right.
Now you get the first 10, 15 minutes of news, and the rest of it is entertainment garbage.
And he hates some of that, but I think that's the
and he's the best of the bunch.
Yeah, but that's the trade-off they force him to make,
mm-hmm.
in order to get to do the occasional special comment where he gets to blister the hide off of somebody.
Which is really great, and it's the special comment, and it's the news that actually gets people to watch. And you know good and well it's the worst person in the world that people really want to watch. That's why they put it at the end of the show.
Sure.
It used to be towards the front. Now, don't get me wrong. Keith Olbermann is a great guy. Love him to pieces. But he is allowing too much of the entertainment to come into his show now.
Let me shift gears on you for a minute, Rick.
Sure.
Getting back to Texas.
Mm.
I love the way you say that.
I'm scared now. What have we done now?
This is from April 3rd, posted at AlterNet by Bruce Wilson. A bill being considered today by the House Public Education Committee of the Texas State Legislature would mandate that all high schools in Texas offer elective Bible classes using a controversial course curriculum from the National Council on Bible Curriculum in Public Schools. Man, that's a mouthful. That's the NCBCPS.
Right.
which says the group is used in over 1,000 high schools in 36 states. This NCBCPS curriculum has even been denounced by Southern Methodist University faculty.
Right. This is not surprising at all. The Christian right spent an enormous amount of money in Texas taking over, first of all, who chooses the books that goes into the school. They now control the board that chooses all textbooks in Texas schools. They also spend an enormous amount of money getting people like Conan and a few of the others in for their right-wing beliefs that goes along with their Christian beliefs. I hate using the word Christians. My God, those people are anything but. So, yes, we have an awful lot of elected officials
who
now have to pay their dues.
Just to make it a little more horrifying, Rick, this is for your edification so you can track it down there.
I will.
House Bill 1287. It was introduced by one Representative Warren Chisholm, C-H-I-S-U-M. And this is the same Warren Chisholm who a couple of months ago in February came to national attention when he distributed a memo that alleged the theory of evolution is a religion based on Jewish Kabbalism.
You know,
same dude.
I haven't heard that. That is so neat.
Same guy.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what would happen to you guys down there if you actually let your legislature meet once a year.
Well, you know, we don't want to do that.
No, you don't. I mean, I'm surprised that there aren't the folks out there trying to. The legislature can meet once every 15 years. Thank you.
We would do that, but I think they'd probably be crying because they do want to go and sling their power around. Look, I'm going to.
Well, Austin's a fun town too. I mean, if you live,
Austin's magnificent.
Right. So if you live in Dimebox or Terlingua, and you're the delegate from Terlingua, you got to get to Austin at least once every 2 years.
I've got to get to Austin every few months. And I tell you, there isn't anything better than University of Texas. And what isn't known?
Easy.
What isn't known?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I know
but
how you people are.
The best class at the University of Texas is Sixth Street.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Life and Living 101.
Just do a Google search of Sixth Street, Austin, Texas. You're going to be amazed. That is the most wonderful, wild place you will see. And to be in college, to be at the university there and 6 blocks away from Sixth Street is the only way.
Is that your alma mater?
Yes.
Well, I had no idea.
Oh, man. Talk about wonderful. Talk about where 6th Street is it. Absolutely great. But anyway, yes, and I promise you, everybody who comes from Terlingua and Paris, Texas, and all the other last little places, they head straight to 6th Street.
So sure they do.
Stay away from those. It is the fun. It's better than anything New Orleans has ever produced.
Well, that's tall talking.
Yeah, well, you're...
I understand. someday I will see it.
Look. One of these days, get on down here. We will show you the time of your life. And Agnes, of course, Agnes, we have missed you.
Yes. Yeah.
Love you too.
I guess one more thing I just really want to say.
Okay.
And because I know you probably got lines backed up and everything, and then your good people really need to talk to you. I want to say this one thing. We had to have communism. We had to have that experiment ran. It had to be shown that it was stupid and would not work and could only work under a dictatorship. It had to happen. We had to have the last 6 years in America. Americans had to find out that conservatism is empty and stupid and cannot work except under a dictatorship. It is completely opposite of anything that a democracy is, and we have proven it. Any idiot who stands up and says, I'm a conservative now, has to be the dumbest creature to ever walk this earth.
And
in Texas, that's a cow because we eat those.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, but, it is the dumbest creature to walk the face of the earth, but they're still moving in herds.
They're moving in herds, but those herds are sure getting thinned out. You seen what we did to the buffaloes, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, Rick, it's always a joy to talk to you.
Love y'all.
And our very best to your lovely wife.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You take care. Bye now. Our buddy, psychologist and author, Rick Goodner. Phil, calling from Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Bob. Thank you. Gee, I was going to talk about one thing, but then you were talking about the soldiers being sent to Iraq.
Untrained.
You know, and you talked about the candidates for 08 election. And, boy, that's working good as far as getting these election starting early, really gets in the way of the people discussing impeachment.
Kinda does, doesn't it?
Don't you think? And
well, yeah, but it's not, you know, it is nice to know that, like I mentioned a little bit ago, Joe Biden is out there telling us that it is impractical.
Joe Biden and the wind, man. He's always going.
Yeah.
Joe Biden. Oh boy, a lot of talk with him. Watch his votes, like any of them. You know, I was talking to someone today, and how easily we forget. These bastards deliberately, flat out.
Lied to start a war, man.
Does
that just, I mean, when you sit back and you contemplate that, Phil, does that just kind of make your head feel like it's got marbles in it and you just want to shake it and go,
Yes. And when you see 95% of the American people either don't even realize it or just don't give a crap. And so many of the military, I was talking to a military wife today, her husband has done two tours, and I asked her, I said, well, what does your husband think about weapons of mass destruction, you know, and she said, well, you know, we just go, we don't make the orders, you know, and commander-in-chief, and then I was explaining to her, you know, your husband took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of, you know, against enemies, foreign and all enemies, foreign and domestic. He did not take an oath to any man or the president. And yet
he took an oath. He took an oath to that GD piece of paper.
There. Oh yeah, right, man. And I explained to her, yes. And then she started saying, "Well, we're behind the commander in chief." And I was telling her, you know, the American people that have failed your husband and failed the troops, and she's looking at me like I had four heads, you know. And she said, well, we're behind the I said, he's the commander-in-chief of the military, and there's a sacred covenant where the military are willing to defend our freedoms. And I say, do you know what our freedoms are? And I had to explain that they're defined in the Constitution of the United States, and one of the things that this sacred covenant is that the American people will never send or okay these troops to be sent to kill and be killed without the informed consent of the people. And I believe that term is somewhere in the founding documents. Informed consent of the people. And I told her we did not have that. Those troops did not have the informed consent of the people. And I said, and now that everything's been revealed, that, you know, they deliberately lied about weapons of mass destruction, you know, it's the people who have failed your husband and the troops. And she didn't want to hear this. You know, her husband's a career military guy. She's a veteran herself, a military wife.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear that. And the American people don't want to hear that. Because it's work, Bob. If you sign on to that, man, you know, if you sign on to, oh, yeah, this president lied to start a war, you sign on to that, man. That means it's work. You got to change what you're doing. You have to change your life. You have to get involved.
Yeah.
You have to fight the big Goliath, you know? And 95% of the American people don't want to do that. Yes, you might have 60, 70, 80% of the American people that agree that this guy lied and the war is a fraud and the troops should come home. But you take the American people and how many are actually getting off their ass and, you know, getting involved, you don't have that same percentage, Bob.
No.
And so the American, you know, politicians have been corrupt for hundreds of years, you know, and why should we expect them to be any different now, you know? And so to blame the politicians is also a cop out, because the buck stops with us. And you mentioned the school boards putting the Bible in the public schools, you know, and there's the result of citizens getting involved in their local politics, getting their showing up for the school board meetings.
Yeah, because they're, and again, it goes back to this book I'm reading, The Jesus Machine.
Hmm.
It details in pretty minute form how much hard work went into building that machine over the course of about 40 years.
Yes.
We haven't even begun to try to build that machine yet, Phil.
And I really believe it's sloth, laziness, indifference, apathy.
Don't forget lack of understanding.
You know, Bob, that is a very good point. That is a very good point.
We don't get it, Phil.
You know,
I mean, I'm not saying you don't. I'm not saying I don't.
That is a damn good point.
But
and that's they control the modes. You know, they control the information. We're really up against it, and for those of us who are informed, there's a lot of work to do, and it comes in educating. I'm glad you mentioned that. This poor woman didn't even know what the freedoms were. I had to tell her that.
No, she doesn't, but she knows what it's down to on American Idol, Phil.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
You know, and anybody questioning George Bush is not supporting the troops. It's amazing how that's been. Well, it's beaten into their heads. You know, when we're out there with our weekly anti-war demonstration. We've been doing this at this particular corner for about a year and a half. Every week we hand out flyers, you know, and sometimes when we have the money we can make some DVDs, we hand those out too.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have to be the media, and, you know, and if we're going to put the brakes on it, you know.
Got to get more active. Phil, I'm so sorry, but we're out of time.
Oh,
I got to
yes,
go
Bob.
Now.
Yes, thank you
so care.
Much.
Bye now.
You too.
Thanks to Agnes for a lovely job producing this evening, to Brian Reznor for announcing, to John Fox for engineering. A special thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org for making the streams, the archives, and the podcasts all go. The fundraiser is going on, and it's going slowly. Get with it, people. If this means something to you, get with it. And always, always, always. RMR. It's all for you.
Thank you. USS Nimitz carrier group steams toward Gulf. Analysts say U.S. strategy on Iran may have backfired. Bush blasts Pelosi for Syria visit. Ex-aide says he's lost faith in George Bush. The GOP insider says Bush is Dan Quayle in cowboy boots. Split court rules against Bush on greenhouse gases. A growing GOP problem in Ohio. Giuliani says ties to Kerik may hurt him with voters. Time Profile asserted that 9/11 gave Giuliani automatic standing on terrorism. Thousands suspected of Katrina fraud. Battle over habeas corpus returns. Bush on defense says we have every right to replace U.S. attorneys. Judith Giuliani's job with Pup Killer Firm? Three scenarios for the presidential 08 election. Prosecutor posts go to Bush insiders. CNN's impeachment reality check needs a fact check. Dems say more lawyers needed for Bush probes. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.